call to order the Finance, Budget, and Audit Committee meeting of January 18th, 2012. May we have roll?
Here.
Here.
Here. Thank you. Director Chair informed me he was otherwise indisposed this afternoon and indicated in advance he would not be attending today. Let's move on, if we may, to the first item. Item 23, the report from the Chief Financial Services Officer.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. Terry Matsumoto, Chief Financial Services Officer. With me are Assistant Treasurers Donna Mills, Mike Smith, and assisting them will be Marshall Liu to present the report today.
Good afternoon. Donna Mills, Assistant Treasurer. We've started the year with the domestic economy expanding. While a positive note, the moderate pace of growth makes the economy more susceptible to event shocks, such as the European sovereign debt crisis. Also, fallout from the financial crisis continues to impact banks and other financial intermediaries in a number of ways. Looking at a few key economic indicators, while the domestic economy is improving, general consensus expects the slow growth pattern to continue this year. The unemployment rate in LA County declined to 11.5% in November, still high, but moving in the preferred direction. Inflation is not expected to pose much of a threat this year, as excess capacity and labor market slack should curtail pricing pressures. Consumer confidence improved recently, but remains well below previous highs. The Fed is committed to keeping short-term rates low through mid-2013. Fed policy is also keeping mid- to long-term rates from rising in the near term. Considering the impacts to Metro, with persistent weakness in the economy, we are cautiously optimistic that our sales tax revenues will continue to recover at their recent rates. Low bond interest rates may provide opportunity to refund several of our issues. We have also seen regulatory changes and credit rating downgrades affect financial institutions providing Metro liquidity, investments, and surety agreements. Fiscal year to date through December, monthly fare revenue is $3.3 million or 2% less than prior year. Sales tax receipts continue their trend of improvement. For the second quarter of fiscal year 12, receipts were 9.6% or $29 million higher than the same quarter in the prior year. Year to date, receipts are also ahead of budget. This graph shows that Prop A receipts, while moving in the right direction, still have some catching up to do in comparison to the previous high in fourth quarter 2006.
This chart shows municipal bond rates have continued to move lower since 2008 around the middle of the chart and are currently near record lows. These low rates are providing the opportunity to evaluate several bond issues for refunding cost savings, and we'll bring those recommendations to the board. This chart shows that municipal bond rates and U.S. Treasury rates have moved lower over the past year. The decrease in Treasury rates to near record lows of around 3% on the third for the 30-year Treasury have made Treasury rates more attractive relative to municipal rates. This is a significant fact in regard to the $545 million federal TIFIA loan that we've applied for the Crenshaw project. That loan will be set to the rate of the 30-year Treasury on the date that we execute the loan agreement, expected around June of this year. The TIFIA loan application is currently submitted, and we're working with DOT's financial advisors to get that credit approval process completed. Several alternative refunding strategies were proposed in response to a recent RFP. Staff is planning to provide its recommendation of a cost reduction strategy and bond underwriting team in the March board cycle. Regarding replacement of expiring liquidity facilities, we negotiated final terms with two banks. The liquidity replacement process recently has been more difficult as a result of both the effects of the European debt crisis and due to uncertainty arising from proposed changes in banking regulations. Regarding our defeased leases, we were fortunate in December to capitalize on a brief dip in interest rates that facilitated an effectively no-cost termination to our largest defeased lease, resolving one of our AIG-related defaults. The cost, less legal fees, we were able to retain $14 million of upfront cash benefit that we received in 2001 when we entered into the lease. As a result of the recent changes, recent ratings downgrades of Merrill Lynch, we're finalizing development of an agreement for Merrill Lynch to post collateral related to an investment agreement where they provide one of our debt service reserve funds. We'll finalize documentation and replace the expiring liquidity facility in late February, and we will submit our recommendation for strategies to refund the 2003 bonds and recommend an underwriting team in the March board cycle. And that concludes our presentation.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you very much. Let's move on to the next item, item 24.
Item 24 is a recommendation to appoint Can-Am Enterprises to provide EB-5 financing opportunities. This is a new program for us. EB-5 is, the EB stands for Employment-Based Immigration. Under the federal statutes, foreign immigrants are people wishing to immigrate to the United States by putting up $500,000 a person for the purpose of investing in the U.S. to create jobs can go to the head of the line for their respective visa categories. Selection of Can-Am was based on a competitive proposal process as outlined in the report. At the moment, we don't have any current plans or specific projects to in mind to utilize the financing because the current very, very low rates, as you heard in the previous report, our tax-exempt rates that we could use on our own would probably be less costly in the short end than even the very, very low 1.5% fee on these monies. If there are any questions, we're here to answer them.
Director Fasana.
Yeah, I'm presuming there's some controversy behind this, but with it expiring in 2012, why are we making the award at this time rather than determining whether it's going to be reauthorized?
This is a long-established program. It was first enacted in 1990, and each time it has had a sunset, and each time it has been renewed without much controversy.
Have we used this mechanism in the past?
No, we have not.
Mr. Matsumoto, I have some experience with this. My day job is that of an attorney. Even though I don't practice immigration law exclusively, I do have several clients who've made themselves available to this EB-5. I do have some questions, and rather than get into it now, it would be my suggestion to the committee that we pass this off to the full board. In particular, it's the amount of the fee that they're requesting per transaction. Typically, it's not the borrower that pays the attorney's fees and their economic consultant fees. In this case, it's $75,000 per loan. They're asking for 15 points per loan. And the proposal by Can-Am is significantly different than the second proposal in which they are bearing all the fees and all the consultants and there's no points, but there's a higher interest rate. So I'm not entirely comfortable with this setup. You say there's no urgency that we approve a vendor at this point for this issue?
No, it would just allow us to put one more tool in our financing toolbox. So, yes, there's no urgency. It can certainly wait till next week or to the following month if you would care to.
I mean, presumably on a $500,000 loan that they're going to be getting, and that's a small loan, I understand, but 15 percentage points which is $75,000, plus $75,000 of attorney's fees, so up to $150,000 in fees for a $500,000 loan. The other issue is the location of these target areas. How many of our projects are actually in these target areas, regional centers that are already existing? So there's, I do have some questions and some.
We'd be happy to address your questions, but let me just say that you're absolutely right on the first points and fees. However, we plan not to use this for anything small. $10 million would be the smallest threshold that we would begin to even consider it. So if you were to then look at the initiation fees as a percentage of $10 million, I think you'd see that the fees are fairly nominal. And the compelling difference is the rate.
Between so for the $10 million, there would be 15 points, but a maximum of $150,000?
Correct.
For that?
And still the same fixed $75,000 for legal and economic consulting.
Any comments from the committee? Director Molina?
This has been in place since 1991.
1990, yes. First came to our attention
Got it.
When SEPTA, which is the transit agency in Philadelphia, arranged.
I'm talking about us in these 20-some years. Why are we doing this now? Who asked for it? Why are we doing it?
We only became aware of this program. I'm with you. I only first heard about it about a year ago.
Brought this to us.
Beg your pardon?
Who brought it to us?
We saw an article where Philadelphia was utilizing this technique for $175 million loan, and we looked at it, and we had
points on $175 million loan.
Well, it's a lot of money.
This sounds kind of nutty, okay? Just on its face, and I'm one that doesn't know anything about it and haven't gotten a briefing on it at any really, I don't know where we're going to use it. Did you say that this is a response to an RFP that you put out?
Yes, after we...
Did we approve the RFP?
No.
Why not?
That's typically we would bring to you, as we have today, the award, recommendation for award.
I know, but we don't know what this program is.
Oh.
Right now, I don't know about the 15% interest rate, which is kind of nuts, okay?
It's not 15% interest.
15 points.
It's not even 15.
But isn't
15.
That nuts?
It's a $150,000 fee.
Isn't that nuts?
I guess the point is, if I could just chime in, I think that there are other vehicles for loan origination. This is someone who wants to build a hotel or something that can't find financing anywhere else puts themselves in contact with this foreign money that comes in with all the additional fees and costs and monitoring that goes on. I'm not sure us as a transit agency, despite what Philadelphia may have done, and in light of our Measure R funds and our America Fast Forward, need to get into this at this point. That's my point. Maybe that reflects some of the supervisors.
Well, but I don't even know what it means. It says, can invest in projects in high unemployment areas in exchange for visas. I got a whole lot of U.S. American citizens that are unemployed.
Yes.
So I don't understand where we're going with this. I don't understand.
So the guy that puts in the money gets the visa. It creates jobs for U.S. citizens.
No.
No, it has to create 10 jobs for every 500,000 that you put in. And you, being the, for lack of another
lender,
country, the Chinese investor, gets the visa for you and your family. You don't have to work the project. You just get the visa. You're putting Americans, this is the idea behind it, putting Americans to work, especially in the high unemployment.
With MTA money?
Well, we're borrowing it and paying them interest. Director Ridley Thomas.
I think this is an interesting discussion. I think it can be and should be better informed. So I'm going to suggest that we continue the item, and in the meantime, our staff make it its business to meet with each member of the committee for further explanation and or presentation. I think that would be most desirable.
A basic fact sheet of who, what, where, how, why, and when would be nice for us. A whole series of how we would use it, when we use it, and would be helpful. I just think the whole board would appreciate it. Maybe it's a good thing, but so far the little bit that I got doesn't sound like what we should be doing.
Well, I would be happy to put this off a month. As Director Najarian pointed out, this is not time critical. Let me make just one comment on high unemployment areas. L.A. County is a high unemployment area. So creating jobs in L.A. County virtually by any of our projects would not be a tremendous hurdle.
Okay. Thank you. I don't hear any objections from the board to continue this for another month so we can get some more information, understand this this EB-5 program.
Certainly.
With no objection, that will be the order. Let's move to program? Item 25, please.
Item 25 is the annual update to the investment policy and designation of the treasurer to handle day-to-day investing activities.
Awesome.
The changes are summarized in the attachments. For the most part, they either are made to conform to state law or really are a matter of clarification and editorial.
Sounds very bizarre. Sounds very strange.
Give me your
right. I got 500,000.
Okay. Where did you leave Officer Matsumoto? I had a...
This is item 25. Sorry. This isn't... A regular annual update to the policy. Certain of the changes that are outlined in the attachments are made in conformance with changes in state law. The vast majority of them are a matter of form and format.
Okay. Are there any questions on that?
But this is not a way to present it.
All right. Thank you. If there's no objection, then the investment policy will be adopted and we'll approve the financial institutions resolution, and we're going to delegate to you, Mr. Matsumoto, or your delegate, designate the authority to invest the funds for a one-year period.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And, Mr. Chair, we just simply want to suggest on item number 24, it is noted that a report has been submitted for the director's review. Obviously, more is required to the extent that that's understood. Perhaps we can avoid a more extensive discussion by virtue of
certainly
one-by-one updates with staff and or board members as deemed appropriate.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Next item, please, is item 26.
Good afternoon. I'm Frank Shapiro, Deputy Executive Officer, Office of Management and Budget. The item 26 is a receive and file regarding FY11 annual budget performance. That in the year ended June 30th, we ended financially $289 million favorable. Expenses were under budget by approximately $546 million. Revenue was under budget by approximately $257 million, which is the net of $289. In terms of the revenue, the sales taxes were slightly above budget. Fares were on budget. The federal and state revenues were below budget, primarily because they are reimbursements for capital and other subsidy projects, which the money wasn't spent in FY11. The bus and rail operating expenses were slightly below budget to a large extent because of the methodology and timing of the allocations of fringe benefits and overhead. Capital expenditures were slightly over budget, primarily because of the Union Station acquisition. Subsidies were approximately 17% below budget because of the local jurisdictions in LA County not drawing down money that they could have drawn down in FY11. The debt expense was favorable, primarily because we did not need to issue new Measure R debt as the projects weren't spending money as rapidly as expected. And that concludes my report regarding the fiscal year that ended last June. If there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them at this time, or I'll move on to Report 27.
Any questions for the 2011 budget? Okay. Well, the report, for the report.
We find acquisition of union and expenditures for Foothill. What expenditures that weren't in the previous budget?
You were not, yeah. This was just the year end where we ended at June of 2011. That's item 26. 27.
Item 27 covers the first 3 months of this fiscal year, July 1st through September 30th. The report is very similar to the FY11 year report, that we ended the quarter in a favorable position with expenses being below budget significantly more than revenue, again, because we did not receive federal reimbursements for expenses that hadn't occurred yet. The sales tax revenue in the first quarter exceeded the budget. The fair revenue was basically on budget. State and federal revenue, again, was below budget because it was primarily reimbursements and the expenses hadn't occurred yet. That bus and rail operating expenses were slightly below budget, mainly because of timing issues. The virtually capital expenditures were approximately 46% below budget, primarily because of timing issues. Virtually every capital project was to some extent below budget in the first quarter. Again, subsidies were below budget. Local jurisdictions aren't drawing down the money that we had set aside for them. The other expenses or category of expenses are also below budget, primarily because we haven't expended money on some of the startup and planning of Measure R projects. Debt is slightly below budget. And our outlook for the remainder of this fiscal year is that we will be closer to being on budget by the end of the year. We expect expenses, to a large extent of the expense variances are timing issues, and we expect that we'll be spending more, be closer to budget in the last 9 months of the year. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks on this receive and file report.
Okay. Any questions?
I'll move to receive and file report.
Objection. Such will be the order. Item 28.
So, yes, item 28 is a third receive and file report dealing with two basic topics. The first one I want to cover are the budget parameters or assumptions for the FY13 budget. As we are starting the FY13 budget process, and we wanted to discuss with you the assumptions we're using. The first and foremost, we're assuming a very modest sales tax increase from the FY12 budget. We're assuming no change in the fare structure. The one assumption we are making is that the one-year reduction of the day pass from $6 to $5 will expire and that the day pass will return to $6. We're assuming that rail service will basically increase, that we're assuming that the Expo line will be in service for the entire FY13. We're also built into the plan operating the other rail lines for longer hours and reducing headways on the rail lines. And as far as bus service, where there's some relatively minor reductions associated with duplication of the Expo lines, and which are offset, more than offset actually, by increases associated with opening the Canoga extension of the Orange Line. In terms of staffing, we're assuming no increases in staffing except for staff associated with the additional service or staff requests that are mandated by the board. In terms of wages and benefits, we are reflecting the 2% increase incorporated into the UTU labor agreement, and will reflect whatever increases are negotiated into the remaining labor agreements. And in terms of non-labor costs, we're assuming CPI increases of 2.14%. And with that, I'll turn it over to Marie Kim to talk a little bit about the budget themes, performance for this year, and
And if you could just hit the high points, I'd appreciate it, please. Okay.
Yes. The FY13 budget will be developed around the following four budget themes, and I'll go over the four before I go into the FY12 achievements. The first being to improve bus and rail transit service with increased efforts on the civil rights and the system safety and security activities. Two, renewed focus on customer service and the quality of the customer service. Number three, advance the Metro bus and rail transit projects. And four, advance the highway and freeway programs. So these four will provide the framework for the FY13 budget development. And reflecting back on the past 6 months of FY12, I'll just briefly highlight some of the efforts that the staff have undertaken. Metro continues to improve on its on-time service performance, which has increased from 66.2% back in FY09 to all-time high of 78.3% achieved back in August 2011. Our target on the on-time service performance is 80%, so we're almost there. We have improved our bus systems through the additional trips, restructuring of the lines, and consolidation of the rapid and local services. And on all our rail lines, we've improved our headways on some lines by 100% by reducing the headways. We continue our preventive maintenance of the bus fleets, the rail fleets, and our facilities. We've increased our frequency of cleaning on the rail stations, as well as the bus deep cleaning of the bus fleets. And on the freeway, we have initiated the beautification pilot project along I-110 and I-710. Regarding our Measure R projects, the Orange Line extension is planned for revenue operation in July of 2012. And our other Measure R projects are progressing as scheduled. Back in March of 2011, we have launched Next Trip in efforts to provide the right information right now. And in the first quarter of FY12, we have reached the 1 millionth hit. It's been well received by our patrons. And in an effort to increase the quality of our workforce and caliber of our incumbents, we have launched several programs that's targeted for middle management, all the way from middle management to the entry-level position to the trade workers, or the skilled workers. Throughout the first 6 months of the FY12, we have identified the labor resources by activities, and we are analyzing those findings to optimize our labor utilization. In order to help with the rapidly rising gas prices, we have reduced our day pass from $6 to $5 and implemented the rolling 30-day monthly pass. And Metro continues to be the lead in the sustainable efforts, leading the industry in its sustainability efforts through various policies, principles, and tenets, such as the green construction materials, the energy conservation and management plans, and the sustainability principles. And that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Director Ridley-Thomas.
Just a couple observations on themes 3 and 6, cleaning our stations, fleets, and roadways, and then preparing tomorrow's workforce today. I think those are both noteworthy, and staff is to be commended for its focus there. The improvements made that are underway to Metro's facilities along the Harbor Transit Way, another observation that we wish to make, and the community awareness that is attendant to that, as well as the Silver Line ridership improvement as a focus. These are all noteworthy, and it seems to me it should be called to the collective attention of the committee and the board with our acknowledgement.
Thank you. Other comments? Are you satisfied with these themes and the direction?
We work on it. I appreciate the comments the director just made, and we will fold that into what we've said. I do want to note that I'm not satisfied with where we are. We're going to continue to make improvements on our rail lines and our stations and our service quality, and as well as deliver the capital program. So we're going to pursue those goals aggressively.
In terms of safety, would that fall under customer service?
I think usually we make it a separate category because it's so very important.
I mean, both in terms of preventing and deterring criminal activity to as well as accidents right. on platforms and throughout the rail bus system. I think clearly we spend a lot of time as a board discussing those items and making approving settlements and so forth, as well as the tragedy of accidental loss of human life. I think it's a good, if that fits in somewhere, I'm sure it does if I look closely, but I think that's something also we need to keep first and foremost.
I would note that the board approved just recently the name change for the Transit Committee. Transit Ops is now Safety, and we're going to pursue that. I know that our claims rates, our new claims rate is down. I know that we're beginning to have improvements in some of the management of the discipline on certain cases. That work will continue. Same thing on security. We've made improvements in the past few months in terms of what Commander Jordan is doing in terms of deployment. That will continue to get a more equitable and reasonable deployment around the system of both security as well as maintenance forces.
Very good. Thank you. If there's a motion to receive...
So moved.
Oh, I do have a comment. I'm sorry. Malcolm Klugman.
I wanted to say the new consumer agency in the federal government, one of its tasks is to make documents like mortgage agreements and credit card agreements legible. And some of the items that you guys put out there don't really fall into that legible category too often, except for this one, item 28 that we just went through, which I actually sat and read because it had the headings that it brought you to read everything, and it wasn't filled with too much jargon and other things. So I would suggest in the future that you try to make those items legible so that people don't have to just skim through 50 pages to find the gist of what this is, but they can actually read these things. So let's try and make life legible.
Thank you.
There's going to be a lot of unhappy lawyers hearing that comment, Mr. Klugman. We're going to lose a lot of our legalese. But thank you. I appreciate the comment, and I would echo them. It is a flowing and easily understood document. And I don't have any other comments. Motion by Mr. Fasana, second by Director Ridley-Thomas, to receive and file with no objection. Such will be the order. 29 is the report of the Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Very quickly, I know that we've had a very, very nice increase in ridership in response to the improved service at night on the Blue Line and the subway. We'll continue to monitor that. We're seeing heavier loads middays as well for the same reason. The Expo Line, Phase 1, is now in some limited pre-revenue testing. We're not yet replicating the revenue schedule. We are taking some trains during the off-peak into Metro Center, and so progress is underway. The House of Representatives kicked off second session yesterday. The House or the Senate convenes next week. We're going to continue to work with them. A lot of big issues coming up in terms of a potential reauthorization bill and funding for our various transit projects. There were some changes last week at the High Speed Authority with the resignation of the previous executive director and the designation of a new chair. Dan Richard, Governor Brown appointee. I think what we're seeing is a much more open, much more positive attitude of the High Speed Authority towards L.A. County and the other counties, and much more of a willingness to consider synergy and cooperation with other services along the corridor. Last week I met with Karen Hedlund, who's the Deputy Administrator of the FRA, had the same discussion in terms of utility and functionality of the high-speed rail project. We'll continue to monitor that very carefully and to ensure that whatever occurs with high-speed rail is acceptable and pleasing to us here in Los Angeles. We're monitoring the state budget, the governor's budget proposal. So far, it doesn't seem to include anything particularly damaging to transit. We're going to monitor that. We'll see what happens if the governor's tax initiatives don't pass in November. So stay tuned for the coming year. And with that, I'll conclude my report.
Thank you, Mr. Leahy. Are there any cards on this item or the item that follows? Public comment? I have no public comment cards. Director Fasana?
Yes, just a response to the report or a question. My understanding is that there's been a reorganization or some type of an assessment in the planning department for some time now, that they've been trying to determine what the organization structure will be, whether we're still going to have teams set up by mode, by region, or whatever. And I kind of get the sense that that still is hung up. Is there a planning effort coming forward that we can be briefed on at some point?
I know that as part of, Mr. Chair, Director, as part of the budget development process, we are looking at the organization as well as doing a, if you will, a zero-based review under the OMB and Malini's folks, a review of all FTEs at the in the MTA in order to find out, to ensure that we have our FTEs allocated to our highest priorities, obviously in taking recognition of our new priorities in terms of project delivery. We will come forward and report to the board those discussions on planning and other units, certainly as part of the budget process, if that's acceptable.
Well, I think that would be helpful. I think beyond the budget process, though, I'm not sure some of these changes are already being implemented, and
right.
If there's just some sense of a report back on what that actually is, it would be helpful.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. If there's no other comments and no other business before the committee, we are adjourned.
Thank you very much. With your permission, we'll convene the ad hoc committee on congestion pricing. We have three items, one action, two receive and files, and we will proceed accordingly. And if we can have a roll call, we will do precisely that.
Meeting with Rod and Don Sepulveda after here, I'm going to reference the completeness of the report, the SCAG report.
Director
the SCAG staff was criticized.
Okay, I want to focus on this.
I'm here.
Director Molina.
Here.
And Director Ridley Thomas.
Thank you, I'm here. Thank you. We'll proceed with the first item, item number 30, which is an action item. Staff is in place. Please proceed.
Thank you. The congestion pricing project is on an aggressive schedule to meet our federal grant requirements. And as a result, we have been reporting quarterly to this committee regarding any risks that have a potential impact to our project schedule or cost. And two of those risks previously identified have materialized, and as a result, we have a recommended action before you today. They're in two areas. One's known as a differing site condition. The second is related to a lack of sufficient contract modification authority. These actions do not increase the life of project budget that's been previously approved by this board.
Borden.
Just briefly on the differing site condition, it relates to drainage modifications on the 110 freeway near the 105 in an amount not to exceed $1,867,000. The current drainage does not meet Caltrans standards. And while Caltrans did not provide us the needed as-builts for this area, our challenge is that there are additional modifications to the roadway that are needed to support our congestion pricing project. Because of that, without these modifications, it would just make a safety hazard even worse. So we're recommending approval for that drainage modification. The second risk item is a lack of... Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes. The drainage today does not meet Caltrans standards. Do you want to answer that, Henry?
It doesn't have sufficient slope, and there's a run.
We all know how drainage works,
yeah.
But why wasn't it built to those standards?
We actually were not sure when this was first built, and there may have been possibility in the last 20.
Is this use a shoulder issue?
Right now, yeah, this is actually, well, there's a little bit of it into the HOV travel lane, but the area that is concerned, we're putting in transition lane, and by restriping it, we're going to be putting part of the shoulder into the travel lanes after that's completed, and that basically will require that additional and much quicker runoffs than we have right now out there.
Caltrans.
Caltrans.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how this doesn't make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so they didn't build to their own standards.
The challenge is that standards change. So it could have been that the construction was... What I will have to do is get back to you with the actual facts on when the standards changed and whether or not it was.
And you don't have the facts. That's not fair to me.
What happened...
Right. Our situation is, despite the situation with the standards being substandard out there, we know that the modifications that are needed to support our congestion pricing.
Why wasn't it built to the standard, Caltrans?
Caltrans built it. They didn't meet their standard. I'm going around in a circle. Why should I give them more money to build to their standard when they didn't build it to their standard? And if it changed, when did it change?
Understood. I don't have those answers today. Given the urgency of the item and the schedule, we would not like to see it continued, but we would be able to get you the answer before it goes to the board.
Right. How about if we come prepared at the full board meeting to answer the questions? The problem now with the delay, Stephanie, is that we're in a month-to-month delay if this is not approved this month, and so the situation worsens. But let us come
but
to the...
But shouldn't those be questions that they ask? I mean, why should I ask?
Well, yes, you are. Don't try to fool us.
I just think these are questions that basic people should ask before they go in and ask for more.
I know there was some discussion on them some time ago. We'd be pleased to come back and...
Well, discussion is different than facts.
Agreed. Mr. Fasano.
You know, this is one of those where my expectation is that we're not going to get satisfactory answers from Caltrans, but that we're still going to be faced with needing to keep this project moving forward. There will be enough obscurity in terms of the fact that we are also changing the condition and using more of it for actual travel than shoulder and so on. So I think if we can get the information, that'd be great. But my concern is that we still will be faced with the dilemma. We are not going to have perfect information that we're going to need to decide whether we can adhere to the schedule.
John, just because people don't ask the question from before, that doesn't mean the answer is not there. I mean, these are engineers. These are construction people. This is money. It's money. A simple question.
Right. So let us dispose of it appropriately, which is as follows. The questions that have been raised are appropriate and answerable. And we will move this item forward without disposition at this point in time, and expect that the staff report at the board meeting will have definitive response to responses to those questions. That's the wish of the chair. All right.
Yes.
And that's the way we'll proceed. Thank you. Let's move to item number 31.
31 is a receive and file on the risk management plan update. Since the last committee was held, two risk items have been closed related to the El Monte Station and the Petsoas Plaza project, both as a result of board action that took place in October to address fully funding their project budgets. As we move forward, we are currently about 95% complete with design. So by the next quarter's risk management update, we anticipate that the design-related risk items on Attachment B will be closed at that time.
All right. Any questions or comments on item number 31? Noting none, we will receive and file that item without objection. Let's move to item number 32 then.
Tim's going to come up. Just as an overall project status update, I mentioned that we're 95% complete with the design. We're about 25% complete with construction. We also, since the last quarter, have begun the first of five significant phases of testing. The first element of testing is factory acceptance testing, where we test the roadside equipment in a factory setting before we allow the contractor to come out and actually install the equipment onto our freeway corridors. That factory acceptance testing process has begun. The lane side testing process was completed successfully last month, and later this month we will begin the back office factory acceptance testing. Testing is a critical component of this program because essentially not only do we have new equipment that's being installed on our freeway, but we also are dealing with toll technology. And we will continue to update the committee on the status of these testing phases as we move forward. Also a critical component that we'll be focusing on over the next quarter is our launch campaign related to the marketing and public outreach. A significant effort needs to take place to ensure the public is informed about the program, as well as where they'll be able to get fast track or their transponders and open an account. So at Art Leahy's direction, at next committee meeting, there'll be a presentation by our marketing team on that launch campaign plan. I'm going to turn it over to Tim to give you a brief transit update.
All right. Good afternoon. I'm just going to focus on the transit projects today. I'll start with El Monte. The El Monte Station, we're a little north of 50% done now. All soil excavation is done. All utility relocations are done. The slab on grade is done. The walls are about 90% there, and right now we're focusing on decks and ramps. Projects on schedule to finish in August of 2012, underscore on. We are not ahead. We are not behind. We are just on. It's a balancing act right now because we're doing a lot of concrete. We're kind of moving ourselves into a particular area. There's less and less room for error as we go on. So I just want to underscore on. There's no risk. We're doing fine. But we monitor the schedule very closely. In regard to the Petsoas Plaza busway station, we had the board action in November to approve the revised budget for that. Since then, we've been doing a lot of technical studies, which we're working on right now. We're doing traffic studies, geotech, and more utility information, which we'll incorporate into a design-build contract, and the goal is to have that wrapped up and out on the street in March, so two short months. So we're pretty busy on that project as well.
Please.
Yes. I
sit
through a lot of these, and there's pictures.
Yeah. I have pictures. I just am. You want to give me 30 seconds? I'll put them up on the screen.
Yes. 30 seconds.
Let's see if I can actually pull it off.
Right.
26, 25.
no pressure, Lindholm. All right. And I'm horrible at computers. Now you're all going to know.
It's coming.
Might need your help, Steph. Oh, here we go. Now, these do not have the pretty pictures as far as
this is El Monte, all right.
Renderings go. I've showed you the renderings of what the station will look like. These are actually progress of what it looks like as of yesterday. How do I get it up on the screen? Anyone?
You might want to make that January 2012.
Thank
you.
Yeah, you're right. How do I get to that? There we go. All right, so these were taken January 17th.
Stephanie, I'm glad you know what you're doing.
Yeah. the first one on the left is the site looking west. Second one is the site looking east. It's such a long site. It's an eight-acre site. It's like 1,000 feet long, so I can't really take a picture of the whole thing. But if you were to line them up together, that's what it looks like. Now, the particular tasks we're working on right now, we're on the eastern portion of the site working on decks 6, 7, and 8. So we're getting closer and closer to the eastern portion where the transit store is going to be and where the plaza to the station is going to be. So what you see up there on the top left, that's doing rebars and tendons for a post-tension deck. You saw in the pictures before, there's decks all over. This is decks 6 through 8. The other, 7 through 8 is to the top right, 7 and 8, that's the formwork we do before we pour the decks. The ramp walls, you can see that's the ramp going from the division into the bottom of the terminal. So you're starting to see that ramp come together, the walls, so the form of the station's starting to take shape. And then the bottom right, that's where we have walls going up, where the rebar's going up and they're shotcreting, they call it the concrete going up on the walls. And that's getting further and further. We're working west to east. That's what I referenced before, that we're slowly running out of room to work because we're almost done with this concrete structure. As soon as that gets done, we get into interior finishes, building the transit stores on top. I hope that you're welcome.
And projected date of completion, as a reminder?
August 2012, so 7 short months away.
Good enough. Noted.
You're welcome.
If there's no objection, we will receive and file item number 32. I see no other matters to come before the committee at this point in time. Unless I am correct, we are adjourned.